la la, let me explain. Relationships, sex, everybody, and welcome to another Agony Aunt episode of It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You. There is a bit of a trigger warning for this episode. The first two questions, I think, are quite heavy about domestic abuse and rape, but obviously this is what I'm here for. I'm here to give answers that are hopefully helping people and saving lives or protecting people. So it can get a bit heavy, but I'm going to deal with it in the most sensitive way that I can. So let's dive straight in. Here is the first question for today.
Hi, Lana. I'm looking for advice. Back in July, whilst I was working from home, my ex got himself drunk and then went on to destroy my home, push me, throw things at me, and it didn't end until I had to call the police. He was arrested, but I didn't press charges. He was charged with assault and racial abuse, but of a female officer, not me. Then I idiotically gave him a second chance. In hindsight, I'm disgusted, but he gaslighted me that he wasn't actually racist to someone. A couple of minutes later, I got a call from the police to ensure I was okay. And as they were at my flat and my dog, which I got after the first incident, had attacked my partner when I returned home. My home was trashed once again. Pictures broken, doors, blood smeared everywhere. Oh, it was awful. I came back and the dog was shaking in fear and he kicked him in front of me and started to push me. So I left with my dog again and called his dad to get him. He was drunk and high on weed this time. He claimed mental health. So basically, I've since finished the relationship and has tried to get in contact again and again. It's been going on for several weeks. He is blocked on my phone, but they show in a folder. And I checked these. I had 90 odd missed calls from a private number. They were mixtures of declarations of love. But a couple of weeks ago, he threatened to actually kill me and my pet. He then apologised and went back to declaring his love. Then at the weekend, approached a friend to discuss me. I'm wondering if I should consider a protection order or leave it, as it seems to have stopped again and it might anger him even more. He's currently doing community service for the crime he committed on the police officer. Please help.
Oh, what a scary and horrible situation. And it sounds quite serious. And I think that it would be a good idea to get some proper support and protection. And don't worry, listeners, when she sent this in, I didn't make her wait to hear the answer on the podcast. I've already advised her that she needs to go and get some professional support. There is something that the police and social workers and other relevant professionals use to establish how high risk domestic abuse is. It's called the CADA-risk assessment. And there are a number of questions on there that we would ask victims that help us to figure out whether the risk to the victim is high or low. And those questions include things like drug and alcohol use, and he would tick that box. Substance misuse heightens risk. Doesn't cause domestic abuse, but it heightens the risk. We also ask about their history of criminal offences, particularly violent offences, and he would be ticking that box too. A racist attack on a female police officer is a pretty big risk indicator. We also ask about whether they harm pets. Again, this is another huge one. Harming pets and animals is well known by most people, actually, especially if you're into like true crime, serial killer stuff. Harming pets and animals is well known, you know, like if you're into true crime podcasts as well. Most people know that it's a bad indication of what a person is capable of. We all hear about like serial killers pulling the legs off mice and stuff in their childhoods. It really is a big risk indicator if they have a history of harming pets or animals. And harming pets is really commonly used in domestic abuse. Perpetrators will often use animals to control and hurt their victims, either threatening or harming the animals, or some abusers will do things like opening the door to let the dogs run out in the road just as their partner is on her way out and knowing that she won't be able to go out until she's rounded the dogs up, you know, things like that. Threatening not to feed the cat if you go out, meaning that you can't go out, you know, stuff like that. or they'll threaten to keep the pet or hurt the pet if they leave. You know, pets really are a huge thing in domestic abuse. If the fear of leaving your pet is something that is concerning you and is a barrier to leaving, there are services available. There's the Dogs Trust Freedom Project. There's the Cats Protection Lifeline, Pet Fostering Service Scotland. There's all sorts of stuff. You can go to the Refuge website. We will put in this information in the show notes as well. There are organisations that can take in the pet if you go to a refuge or if you have to leave and go somewhere where you can't take the pet. So it's really important to understand what a huge risk indicator that is. I know you're not living together, but just for generic. Mental health, mental ill health is obviously a risk indicator as well, a very big risk indicator, as is his stalking behaviour. He's repeatedly calling you, sending all of these messages. And on top of that, he's made threats to kill. Threats to kill is concerning and it shouldn't be taken lightly. And threats to kill is a standalone criminal offence. And I think that you really need to seek proper help and support. You should keep a record of absolutely everything, all the messages, all of the 90, you know, missed calls, private numbers, everything needs to be recorded. And you should report it to the police if you feel safe to do so. And I do understand your concerns about winding him up. I really do. It feels like because he's gone kind of quiet now, you don't want to rile him up and cause things to start up again. So I completely understand that. I would urge you to report it all now, but maybe ask them to keep it on record. So, you know, if there's a gap between the police last coming and now, and you're feeling like, look, he has gone quiet, let's not rock the boat, you could still ring, report, and tell them just to keep it on record. And if anything else happens, then you can seek a non-molestation order. In the meantime, I would really recommend you getting a Ring doorbell or CCTV if you're able to afford those things. You can also contact Women's Aid or Refuge or a domestic abuse service close to you. On the Women's Aid website, it does give a list of all the local DV domestic abuse services. They can give you support. They can let you know if they're able to subsidise a Ring doorbell or whatever. Some places do have that ability. Because I think your case would likely reach the threshold for MARAC, which is a multi-agency risk assessment conference where key agencies like the police, health services, housing all get together to establish your level of risk and how to manage it best and keep you safe in the community. And I think you would benefit from having really clear and ongoing support here, as I believe that this is a high-risk case. And I understand your fears about reigniting it all, which is why I think your first port of call should be Women's Aid. Get a really strong support network around you and a safety plan. Stuff like ensuring that you keep your phone fully charged and have a power bank up and ready too, so that you always have access to a phone. Let neighbours know if you need to so that they can alert you if he's like creeping around the house or something. Let friends, colleagues and your employer know about the risks so that they can stay alert too. And I know that this sounds really obvious, but do not get back with him under any circumstances. No matter if he says that his mental health is improved, if he's stopped drinking, if he's a changed man, this situation will not improve. Things will very likely escalate and you need to just do your best to continue to protect yourself from him. And if that means moving to somewhere where he doesn't know about, then that may have to be the last port of call, but hopefully not, because I hate the way that that victimizes victims even further. But yeah, stay safe, stay alert, get that protection that you and support that you can get from agencies and look after you. On to the next one.
Hey, Lala. I kind of feel a bit silly asking this, but here goes. When I was 16, I got really drunk with a group of people I didn't really know. It was a good night, and we ended up back at someone's living room to carry on drinking. Slowly, people left and went to bed, but I was so drunk, I couldn't move off the sofa. I then realised there was another guy there, and he was going down on me. This was the first time anyone has done anything like this to me, and I didn't ask for it. But I did seem to remember thinking I should be enjoying it, so I made some groans to that effect. I didn't want to move too much as I threw up, but eventually I got him to stop and left. Was I raped?
Oh, God. I wish this wasn't such a common question, but I cannot tell you how often I am asked by women and girls about whether something like this that has happened to them as teens was actually abusive or illegal. We are so vulnerable as teens, and there are so many men and boys who seem willing to take advantage of that. And when I look back to my own teen years and the nights that I was out drinking or taking drugs, I'm actually shocked that I made it out alive. Like, sometimes it really just feels like we're fucking sitting ducks, and I hate it. And I'm sorry that this has happened to you and that it still causes you to feel confusion. It sounds like it was incredibly uncomfortable. You weren't raped, technically, because the legal definition of rape is when someone puts their penis in another person's vagina, anus, or mouth without that other person's permission. Assault by penetration is when someone puts an object or any part of the body other than their penis, for example, their fingers, into another person's vagina or anus without the other person's permission. And sexual assault is when someone touches you sexually without your permission with an object or body part. So you were either assaulted by penetration or sexually assaulted. Not raped. But really, that is just semantics. It doesn't make a difference to how you felt or the fact that it was a huge fucking violation. The outcome and feeling of violation is the same. And it is so sad that your 16-year-old mind thought that it was etiquette to pretend that you were enjoying it rather than to kick him in the fucking face or scream and tell him to get off. It's so sad that we're so conditioned into that politeness, you know? And it's also just so sad that in his mind, it was okay to go down on a girl who had expressed absolutely no consent, let alone enthusiastic consent. And sex education is so important. Educating teens that unless it is a clear yes, then it is a no, is so much more important than teaching them fucking algebra. And I think it's important to understand that what he did was a criminal offence and that it shouldn't have happened to you. And giving it a label might finally give you that kind of validation that what happened was wrong. And if you feel that you need it, then you can seek support from the Survivors Trust or Rape Crisis. Again, I'll put the details for both in the show notes. But it's also important to remember that there's no way that you're supposed to feel now. Knowing what it was can be empowering to some. Or triggering to others. You know, when you look back and you kind of go, fuck, I was raped or I was assaulted. For some people, that can be like throwing you back there and making you feel really sad and upset about your vulnerabilities and about the fact that you haven't even sort of figured it out until this point. But for other people, rather than it being like post-traumatic stress, it's post-traumatic growth, you know? It doesn't necessarily have to feel like something you need to be really upset about. It can just make you feel like, fuck. It can make you feel sad for your teenage self, but conversely, it can make you feel proud of the woman you've become. It doesn't have to be like, fuck, I was assaulted. It doesn't have to be that kind of moment. But also, if it does hit you, then that's also okay. So get support if you need it, but you might not need it. You might just acknowledge that this is sadly a common thing for so many young girls and get a fire in your belly to change it for future generations of teens by maintaining this fucking feminist fight and by maintaining a fight to make sure that sex education is still really good for young people. You know, sometimes we couldn't protect our teenage selves, but we can make what happened to us back then really inspire us to fight and empower for new generations. But so much love to your 16-year-old self. I wish my 16-year-old self could come and give your 16-year-old self a hug and teach them about feminism, but too late for them, but not too late for the girls coming up in Gen Z. Hi guys, it's me and I'm here to tell you about another Sony Music Entertainment podcast. Now, I know you all like to have a deeper look and get under the skin of a subject. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to me deconstructing hot topics and getting into the nitty gritty with all your dating dilemmas. So I think you're going to love Getting Curious with the fabulous Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Every week, they deep dive into conversations with a variety of experts on some really, really important and eye or ear opening topics like the history of abortion and the science of sleep. Get excited, get curious, and listen to Getting Curious wherever you get your podcasts. All right, and on to the final one for today, which says,
"Hey Lala, I've been dating a guy for the past month now. It's moved incredibly quickly. We're talking a lot on the phone and spending a lot of time together after work and at the weekends. It's been going pretty well. I've still been seeing friends and carrying on my life as usual, and I'm conscious of continuing this so I don't get too carried away. But in spending more time together, I do notice that he drinks a lot. Every night after work, he'll have a few drinks at home and more at the weekend. Sometimes he drinks alone and on weekend mornings from about 10 a.m. I spoke with him about it and he said that it's a weekend, it's his way of relaxing and that it isn't affecting his day-to-day life and it absolutely isn't a problem. We've spoken a couple of times about it and I'm not sure he sees my perspective or at least doesn't want to change his habit right now and reduce the drinking. To be honest, I can't help but feel uncomfortable with the regular drinking. He is a wonderful man who has been respectful and caring. He holds down a good job and hasn't shown any unwanted behaviours when he has drank, but I can't help but think that this could be the beginning of a downward trajectory. I'm enjoying my time with him, but every time we meet, I do wonder whether he has had a drink or not. Am I overthinking this, or is this something that warrants ending this relationship? He doesn't seem to have insight that daily drinking could be a problem. I'm not sure what to do."
Oh, this is a really hard one because it is so bloody rare to meet people who we get on with like this these days. So I can see why you'd want to cling on to that bond that you have. But I think that your perspective on his drinking is correct. Getting on it from 10 a.m. on a weekend could be a sign of problematic drinking. I mean, it's not normal, is it? I mean, maybe one off if you were going to like a festival or something on that day. But regular weekend drinking at 10 a.m. is a bad sign. And especially because he's also drinking a lot every evening. It isn't clear whether he's an alcoholic and is dependent on alcohol or whether he has a drinking problem that could lead to alcohol dependence. But it definitely sounds excessive. And it also sounds like his lack of insight into it could lead to more issues. If he was in the midst of, you know, really serious alcohol addiction, then you might well see more problematic behaviours and he may well be less in control. At present, it sounds like he's fairly controlled and is functioning well, but it is a slippery slope into that midst of addiction. And unless he gets a handle on his drinking, he could end up with a serious drinking problem. And that would be a whole lot for you to take on as his partner. Daily use of any mind-altering substance is problematic, and it's usually a coping mechanism, a way to switch off and escape. But that comes with an effect on physical and mental health that can sneak up really quickly. If you'd been with him for 10 years and then this suddenly started and was like creeping up more and more, I'd be telling you to contact AdFam, AdAction or Al-Anon or one of the many other support agencies that can help the families and loved ones of people with alcohol addiction problems. And there will be details in that in the show notes for where you can find those people. But after a month, if you feel like you need to contact specialist support agencies about your new man, then I'd say that's a pretty bit bad sign, you know? After 10 years, fine, fight for your person. Oh my God, I just said person. After criticizing that so much in my Love is Blind episode, which you need to listen to if you haven't. But you know, if that's your long-term person, then you're going to fight for that. But after a month, you know, it just feels like maybe it's too much. And are you dating him with a view to settling down and having children? If so, I would say it's definitely best to cut your losses and run, because I would not recommend starting a family with someone who is drinking daily. Stopping drinking can be lethal though, so it is likely to be something that he would require help with when he decides to stop. But so far, it does seem like he's pretty far from that, considering how limited his insight is into needing to stop. You know, like the first step is acknowledging that you really need to change. If he's not even there yet, you've got a long, dark road of getting to that point where he finally is like, shit, I'm at rock bottom now and I need to quit drinking. So I would not bring kids into that. And if you already have kids of your own, then same thing. Do not bring this into their lives. I guess if you're just like killing time and just enjoying his company, but you know that you can cut it off easily without getting too invested in supporting your man through his eventual recovery and your whole life being consumed by healing your partner's addiction, then you could stay in it. But getting consumed by someone else's recovery is a big possibility in this scenario. So I would think long and hard about the kind of future that you might have here before allowing yourself to fully commit to this. I think it's a really difficult one. And me personally, I would cut it off now. So there we have it. A bit of another heavy week, hasn't it been? Like pretty serious domestic abuse. Not knowing if something was rape or assault, and then someone who's met someone really great, but it turns out there's this big fucking problem. Why can't it ever be easy? And you know what? It can be, and sometimes it is, and that is what we need to hold out for. Love doesn't need to be a struggle. But obviously, you wouldn't know that from this podcast. But there we go. I will be back again on Friday and then again on Monday, where we'll be diving into an interesting hot topic. Again, if you want to submit your question to this podcast, send it to @AskLaLaLa, let me explain. And if you want to get involved and help any of the people that you've heard from today, I will be having a discussion on my main page @LaLaLa, let me explain. I will see you there.
LaLaLa, let me explain.
This has been a Sony Music Entertainment production.